podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome back to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a football podcast mostly about opinions that aren't really that serious. Follow us on IG and Twitter at WTATLOfficial. Subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to right now so you never miss a new drop. This is episode
136.
Boom, and we're back.
We're back, baby.
Most importantly, I'm back.
No.
Can I just...
Yes!
Yes!
I think that's the first time we've used it properly.
Oh, love that, love that.
Well, you know, I'm just going to brush all that off, yeah, and just say, Kojo, if you're listening to this episode, turn it off right now, innit?
Do you know what we should be saying? We should be saying, Kojo, you're in our thoughts and prayers right now.
You need prayers after what you listened to in this episode, yeah? 65 million for Rey Mysterio can never be me.
Rey Mysterio. Honestly, Martin, I feel sorry for him, man. Hasbullah, Rey Mysterio.
Flipping hell, man. Mike, you think,
your one killed me on the agenda. What was it?
Hasbullah.
Lisandro Lannister.
Lisandro Lannister, yeah. Warwick Davis, they got it all, man. All of this, bro. Them man, so Warwick Davis,
you know.
That's
do you know how rude that is?
That is so rude.
Do you know how rude that is?
No. The worst one is I always said, Man United signed a borrower. Finished me.
Oh my goodness. Oh dear.
So how are you guys?
I'm good. Very good. Happy to be back with you guys.
We can finally talk about some games.
Yeah, finally you could talk about some games.
I was a bit tight. I have to listen to the podcast when I was out in Spain. Because you lot just allowed him to slander me the whole time, innit?
No, I'm not having that. Do you know what?
I'm the home team, bro.
I listen. You was away.
Yeah, bro. I was away. He was an intruder. And you just allowed him to slander me the whole time.
Intruder. One game, man. He's been on here.
He's
before.
Not an intruder,
he's
man. That's
part of the Wattle gang.
Okay, cool. But he wasn't acting like gang when he was slandering.
Wattle weren't friends.
Wattle and friends.
Yeah, I'm Wattle.
Listen,
I'm not friends. He's friends.
You're acquaintance.
I listen back to that. I don't know what you're alluding to on us three.
Yeah, we're
behalf.
Just listening.
Yeah.
Like, no, what do you want us to do?
You're
like,
all doing kick, kick, kick. It's so funny, Kojo. No one was defending me, innit? Oh, crud o'clock and all this stuff like that. Like I'm some menace, bruv. Like,
you
it's
are
me.
A bit of a menace.
Yeah, but still, I just came with the truth.
See, why are you getting offended?
Oh, but bro, you sent us a voice note before the episode was even recorded.
That's facts.
Yeah, exactly.
No lies told there. However, the fact of the matter is, I sent a voice note, yeah, and I was slandering two people, yeah. Lisandro Lannister and Darwin Nunes.
Yeah.
This is the best episode to come after this week's events, yeah.
Oh my god.
So yeah, was I not justified in my behaviour?
Wait, so what?
We'll get into it.
I ain't even got time for
we'll
you today, or energy.
We'll get into it.
Let's go. Right,
I'll go easy. I'll go easy. Energy, you know? I'll go easy.
Damn. So, we'll start with our spotlight game. Just the return of the spotlight game.
Yes,
which
indeed.
Was the London Derby, which was very eventful.
Always is.
Do you remember that one where Tottenham lost their head and started fighting?
Battle of the Bridge.
Yeah, I feel like this is like
a little bit watered
part
down.
Part two.
Literally part two.
That one had Diego Costa, so this one's a little bit more PG in it. But that one was mad.
That one was crazy. Literally every single Spurs player, Chelsea player, all going for each other.
Tottenham got a record, yeah, of 9 players with a booking. You can only get 2 more players booked.
I don't think we got a booking in this game, you know, not a single booking, which I found crazy.
Which is probably...
No.
Which
Romero
is probably...
But not for the Cucurella thing earlier on.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
Junior, has anyone ever pulled your hair like that? You know?
No. I can't say that they have. But I remember when Guendouzi had it...
Fellaini did that, yeah. Fellaini had just cut his hair as well, innit?
Yeah. And I feel like that should be a foul.
Yeah, no, it should be. I think
the thing is, yeah, the only issue, I know we're going to get to it, but like the only thing that saves the referee is because they VAR checked it and VAR can only check for red card incidents.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can't book him. But the referee is an idiot for literally looking right at him and not booking
I
him.
I think Romero was incredibly lucky to get away with that. Yeah, like, man. I've got nowhere to hide as a Spurs fan. Like, I have
What did you think overall of your performance? Because I thought you got blamed.
I'm really disappointed with the performance. I thought we were terrible. I honestly think Tuchel outclassed Conte. I thought Conte didn't have any answers. we didn't have any answers as a team. I thought Chelsea were physically better. They were better on the ball. They were pressing us. Cucurella, Reece James. That's how you performed the wing-back role.
Well, Loftus-Cheek was playing wing-back.
Loftus-Cheek as well, causing us all kinds of problems. We were getting overrun in midfield again. Højbjerg and Bentancur just couldn't cope. Mm. It was literally them two up against four.
I feel like that was Bentancur's worst game for you guys.
Yeah, he wasn't great. I don't think anyone was great.
Okay, just a standing game for Bentancur.
Chelsea completely nullified our attack. Like, Kane, Son and Kulusevski, you have to say they were all poor.
Kane, Son and who?
Kulusevski. Listen, just, I know your agenda's going to run, yeah? Your agenda's going to run, and I get it, but I just think there was nothing they could have done. They just had a game plan, which was to nullify our attack, suffocate us, and they did. Like, genuinely, it was a poor performance from us.
When it comes to Tottenham and Chelsea, I think Tottenham have a bit of an inferiority complex when it comes to Chelsea.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, when you think about it, Tottenham have definitely have the capabilities to hurt them.
Yeah.
I think you definitely got a better attack.
No, so we do, and to be honest, looking at the game, I know Chelsea, they dominated possession. They didn't really create massive, massive chances. Mm. Like, we still had chances in the game. Like, Kane, that chance that I think Højbjerg played into, that is bread and butter for Kane. He should have buried that.
Yeah. I would have one-on-one.
Like, I was really surprised.
You'd put your house on him to back that one.
Honestly, yeah. I was really surprised. But all in all, like, it wasn't a good performance. And if I was... Obviously, I predicted that we'd finish third this season. It's only two games. But I wanted us to compete, at least. And we didn't. And I think... So far, you have to say Chelsea are still miles ahead of us right now.
No, I think it's a bit difficult. Like, obviously, like, Conte had a game plan and perhaps it wasn't the best, obviously. But you got a point out of it. And at the end of the day, it's better than getting no points out of it, especially away from home, being a goal down twice. So I think that's what you have to, you know, sometimes you go into a game and you don't deserve anything and you walk out with a winner. How many times have you thought, oh, that team hasn't deserved anything and we've lost that game?
Both of those goals were fraudulent, though.
No, they were. Like, you can't deny it. I think both goals were fraudulent. And I think if I was a Chelsea fan, I would be aggrieved. Like, I don't care because I hate Chelsea. Like, I am glad to get a point. But in reality, it is very, very terrible from the ref.
When you slow down that first one, though, he did...
He did get the ball, very marginal.
But
he made connection with Havertz first. Yeah. That's all.
And I feel like because Bentancur, that whole sequence, he was nibbling at Havertz, and then we've seen that in the Prem where like a player's like nibbling, and then he makes the final connection, and then it's a free kick.
I get that, but
he takes a bite.
That's why
refs are. It's clear to see refs are under instructions to just let the game flow a little bit more this year. And what are we going to do now? Are we going to say strictly no tackling from behind because you're always going to make contact with the man first?
No, but I think there is
when you're making those types of challenges from behind.
But I think
it's true. But I mean, if it's a foul. It was a foul first.
No,
he actually brought Havertz down before he touched the ball.
But you also.
No. Havertz was still kind of. I know. Listen, it's probably a foul, but I don't think it's as clear cut as.
You can still tackle from behind and not. You get the ball first, depending on that.
But to be fair, nowadays tackling from behind is almost no go.
I get the thing about letting the game flow, but I just think that particular one, it was just like. For me, it was a foul.
But like that was so far away from the goal. That VAR was never going to have a look at it. I think the two goals, both of those things, it's not a VAR issue. It's the on-field referee. The assistant right in front of him, that was a foul.
Yeah.
And the referee for the second goal, clear, that's a foul. In terms of VAR getting involved, I think Richarlison was actually interfering with Mendy.
Yeah, I think
Mendy.
He was, to be
so
honest.
So that should have been an offside.
Do you know what? I'm actually over... My opinion differs to yours for the Højbjerg goal.
I just think, look, Mendy,
he was never getting to that, regardless. And I know that's not the point. But I think if you watch that from the keeper's view, he's not actually in line of the. Like, what are we pulling back goals now just because he's in an offside position? But he's not in goalkeeper's eye line.
I thought he was standing in his way. So I think, in my opinion, that. But the main thing, obviously, it should have been a foul earlier on, and then you. Yeah. But that's the thing. It wasn't VAR. I'm not going to look at that and think. They're not going to overturn it because, firstly, they're cowards. And secondly, that wasn't a VAR issue. The second one is a joke, literally.
It is ridiculous.
He pulled a guy to the ground. And what are they looking for? Like, what were they looking for in VAR? Because obviously they stopped the game and they went to VAR and then decided, no, that's not a red.
And he had such a good view of it as well.
Yeah, he was standing right in front of it.
He was literally right there. Honestly.
I know you love him, but Romero is the biggest dickhead going, isn't he?
I love it, though.
You would.
It. It's like one Chelsea of those ones. Loving if he's in your team, you love it.
No, but like love he's done it. He did. I know. Obviously, no one cares about Maguire. He did it to Maguire, and then he did it. Now he did a reach.
I will say,
he runs up in people's faces, and someone's got to punch him in the mouth.
No. What I will say though, he's on thin ice. I think he's very. He will get a red card this season. I don't doubt. He's very. What's the word that I'm looking for? I just think he's a bit.
Hot-headed,
yeah. I think he needs to cut
it's
that out.
It's Argentinian, isn't it?
But yeah, it's ingrained in it, you know? I love it.
I mean, you've got flipping Simeone and Romero, and then you've got Lisandro. So, like, it's the opposite, isn't it?
No, but he, as I say, I'm not going to sit here and say that, yeah, we got away with one, da-da-da, like... We didn't deserve anything. But I'm glad
You did get away with one.
Well, no, we did. But what I'm saying is I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, the Cucurella thing. Oh, no. Romero shouldn't have been given a red card. No, I think he was lucky to get away with it. But look, all in all, we got a point. So at Stamford Bridge away. I'm taking it.
And at the end of the season, that could be a difference of you, you know, Champions League or whatever.
But we'll get into Chelsea, but I do want to say though, I think Conte was very naive, and as I said, I think Tuchel outclassed him. He's got his number. I think for me, Bissouma and Perisic should have come on a lot earlier. Mm. And when we went to a back four, that just proves we can't play a back four. I thought Dier and Davis were awful.
They were, yeah.
Awful.
They were exposed.
I think Richarlison did well when he came on, although he didn't score, I think he had a role to play. He did somewhat pressure Chelsea.
No, he put them under more pressure in his half hour than they were under for the first 60 minutes.
Yeah,
But I just wanted to see that earlier from Conte. Like when it was 1-1, I think that was the time. Right, let's.
Do you think now he's kind of under pressure to implement those new signings, like from the next? Like, so you got Wolves at the weekend. Like, do you think now he's like, all right, I've tried the team that got us to this situation, but now I think I need to.
The only new signing that I would bring in for the Wolves game is Bissouma. Actually, not Bissouma. Perisic. Definitely Perisic. For me, Sessegnon was so horrible, man. Like, he was struggling. Him and Royal. I don't know why he's taking so long. Maybe he just wants to have the attitude of, look, you're new signings, but you're not going to get into the gym just like that. Like, you need to prove yourself. But that's what I'm saying. Spence didn't even make the bench at all. Like, it's weird.
I saw a lot of Spurs fans saying that maybe some of the signings weren't his, and so
yeah, Spence wasn't a Conte signing. He came out and said that was a club signing.
And it's famous.
That's like, not nice.
No, he literally did say that.
Conte is like famous for like if a signing isn't his, like he
throwing his toys out of the room.
Yeah, like not playing them and stuff like that.
Yeah, but if a signing is him, he will sign Bakayoko and drink water. He's got he's got Morata for 70 million. This guy's got a track record of buying shit.
I want to see Spence play, to be honest. I want Spence and Perisic because I'm just done with Royal.
I feel like Royal in the second half was a lot better.
Yeah, he did improve in the second half. You're right. I don't want to scapegoat him. He did okay.
Because in the first half, it was your whole team, let's be real.
Oh, God, it was
like
so
it wasn't. It wasn't just specifically the fullbacks. It was everyone.
But listen.
Perisic came on and took a corner with his left foot.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my God. I was like,
because Ole did that 5 years ago, but whatever.
But no, let's pick up Chelsea though, because I think that was the best football that they've played. But I don't know if we can.
I don't
say
can
it's
you
because
big
we were
up,
so bad.
Can you big them up because of how emphatically they threw it away?
Yeah, but it was they got cheated. To be honest,
they did get cheated.
Yeah, you did. Okay, but perhaps they should have been ahead.
They should have been more.
That was hard
clear.
For
yeah, they
you
should
to
have
say,
buried us. Huh?
That was very hard for you to say, isn't it?
Well, Chelsea got cheated. Oh yeah. No, it's hard for me to say, but it's easy. No, it'd be harder for you because you're a Chelsea fan, isn't it? You're a closet Chelsea
fan. Anyway.
Oh, here we go.
No, but Havertz has blood on his hand, man.
Yeah, that miss. That cross from Reece James was honestly
It was unbelievable.
Beautiful.
Oh. Unbelievable.
And who the other miss as well? Or Sterling as well, man. Oh.
But that goal, that Koulibaly goal, he was a beast, by the way. Mm. Like, so many people have been like saying, oh, you know, he's a bit old, like he's past it, mate. He was a monster.
31 for a centre back is not.
He's young, isn't
he? He's not young, but he's not old.
Yeah, but you've got Thiago Silva's 38, bro. Still boring.
Right, he's not your typical.
Oh, he's not young, but it's decent. It's normal. I mean, well, how old is Van Dijk? 30, isn't it?
31.
Oh my God, Van Dijk's 30 now.
He's not slowing down, isn't it? So nowadays as well, like
age.
Just players in general, they're not slowing down like past 30, isn't it?
One thing that surprised me though about Spurs was Son.
I know.
It's the quietest I've seen him in a game of football.
He was like in the Southampton game.
For what I didn't see the Southampton game, but I watched the whole Chelsea game, and it's the quietest I've seen him in particular for long time.
Yeah, he's not in good form at the minute. I'd start Richarlison over him. Because I just think we need to have this attitude now that Kane and Son, they can be dropped if they're not having good performances. Like, we've got Richarlison now. You can't have the excuse of, oh, we've got no one else. I would give Richarlison a chance. I think he played okay. Let's see what he does in the Wolves game.
I mean, he just ran about and didn't touch the ball.
I just think the thing with players like Son and Kane, you just know that they will always score. And I just think Conte, regardless of how bad he's been, I don't think he's ever going to drop him.
I feel like you can't drop Kane. Like,
Kane.
He provides so much more than just goals. Yeah. His presence is also like an issue for
the Tottenham. He's a Tottenham playmaker.
And then like with Son, I do think like perhaps you can, but like I think also it's a thing of like previously they've had to play whether they're in good form or bad form.
Yeah.
And now I think you can afford to give Son a rest in the Wolves game, bring him back fresh for the next game. I don't know what it is, but you know, and then obviously when Champions League starts, then that rotation can come in.
I think drop's the wrong word, but I think the idea in terms of rotation and competition. You didn't spend 60 million on Richarlison to give him 20-30 minutes.
Yeah. Was that a Conte
every game?
Well, they say it is, but how much do people really know? We don't know if it was a Conte signing. I mean, I do know Spence definitely was.
The only one he's come out and said like this was the club was Spence.
So you have to assume that he probably...
That's a weird move, don't you think?
It's very strange.
Like, I think, especially for someone so young, like coming into a football club and then feel like your manager doesn't want you.
Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for him because wasn't he like voted the best young championship player or something along those lines? I can't remember.
No, Spence is good, man.
I think he should be given an opportunity, but it's the second game.
He'll get his opportunity, but he'll be in those early cup rounds, League Cup, FA Cup.
Yeah, but he's looking at Emerson Royal, I'm thinking, he's better than Spence. That's just madness.
Yeah, I think that's crazy.
There's two ahead of him, isn't it? It's like Royal and
it's like he didn't even put him on the bench, but apparently it was because we had Perisic on the bench, we had Doherty, and then we had...
Emerson playing as well. You would have had four right wing backs.
It doesn't make sense. So
that was the reason why.
Turning into Southgate, just collecting wing backs.
Honestly. But no, let's big up Chelsea. I think they do deserve to be, as I say, I think they performed really well. Like, Kante, I thought this guy was finished. He was unbelievable.
Yeah, but he could pull the hammy again. So.
He's out for a month now.
Oh my God, is he?
But you got to give credit to Chelsea and what you were saying, Tanz, as well, for Tuchel in the... I think he just identified that Spurs, similar to Liverpool actually, you've got your system and in this case, the thing that he wanted to target was that two in midfield. Mm-hmm. It's very light. If you could target that and you can overrun that midfield, then you can dominate the game. And he showed, Abdi mentioned it earlier, with Reece James as that right centre-back. But when Loftus-Cheek kind of pushed infield, it'd become a back four. Reece James would be that marauding right back, and then they're outnumbering you in midfield, but they've still got that width. And it was really good to see from Tuchel because we saw it Madrid last season and a couple of other games, but really with Chelsea under Tuchel, it's been quite rigid.
Yeah,
back five.
Yeah,
you got your midfield there, and usually it's Havertz, Mount, and whoever, Sterling this season, last season, whoever it was. Yeah. So it was good to see from Tuchel that kind of tactical. Just switching it up a little bit, and because I feel like, honestly, and feel free to challenge me on this one, I just feel like those tactical battles have been lost a little bit in the Prem recently. Mm. So it was good to see that. Really good to see.
Yeah, it was like a game of chess, you know, because Tuchel, he obviously made those changes, like you say, but then Conte also changed things. He's never like gone to a back four. I haven't seen that yet. And then he changed it again.
I thought he needed to do that so much sooner. Needed Bissouma on, in my opinion, at half time, because having that two in midfield, you were just constantly getting overrun, and it was screaming for Bissouma.
Let's talk about Jorginho, who was like balling out in the first half and then made the mistake for the goal and then got taken off straight away almost.
That's him all over though, isn't it? Yeah. I feel like he's always got that mistake.
A flash of like...
He was literally having the game of his
career. Abdi was calling him an Iniesta regen first half.
I said Pirlo.
Oh,
cool. It's a bit different.
I'm so glad I didn't see that.
But it's all right, Mark. You can lie.
Shut up.
No, but he was balling out. I don't know what he was doing. I think he was getting a bit too overconfident. And that's when Tottenham started pushing up a little bit, innit? So, I think he's usually quite press resistant as well. So he could have just, like, you know.
I don't know why he.
What he was trying to do either. Honestly, I have no idea.
Can we talk about the main event, though?
Yeah. So the the WrestleMania main event.
Listen, yeah, Tuchel, don't ever step to my manager, yeah?
Without a shadow of a doubt, if they had a fight, Tuchel would wrap him up.
No.
Tuchel would wrap him up.
Conte's got crazy eyes, bro.
Conte's crazy.
Have you seen Tuchel's crazy eyes?
No, but Conte, I think he's like a different level of crazy.
Tuchel held his hand, yeah, and Conte was trying his best to free his own hand.
No, Conte looked shocked. Yeah, he's like, I can't believe you're stepping to
me. Yeah, that exactly.
That's what I felt like. He was like, I can't believe you're doing this. Like, right now, I'll go.
Because if you listen to it, yeah. First of all, yeah, the Sky cameraman, he deserves a raise. He positioned himself really perfectly. That was, honestly, the shot as well from behind. And then he positioned, perfect.
But apparently it all started because Conte, I think he bumped into Kovacic. And then it caused the Chelsea bench to get angry.
Kovacic. Kovacic is injured.
He was in and around the squad.
Oh. Yeah.
But what was that? I think what was that is because Tuchel was complaining with the fourth official.
Yeah.
And then Conte seemed to be going in that direction, celebrating.
And then
Tuchel was like, what are you doing, bro? And then that kicked it off.
No, the funny thing is afterwards, what's his name? Keyboard Warrior Conte. Went on Instagram and said, if I'd have tripped him up,
if I had seen this, I might have tripped him up.
He would have deserved it. If he had done that, honestly, that would have been an all-timer Barclays moment.
Yeah.
All-timer. He trips him up as he's running down the... Oh, that would have been...
I think it already is, though. That situation
is
there,
iconic.
That is iconic. It's honestly iconic.
Tuchel's like, look me in the eye. He goes, when in the interview, Tuchel's interview afterwards was sick, by the way. Like, he said...
Did you see him flexing?
Yeah.
He sat down flexing. I was like, what?
Yeah, he goes, where I come from, when you shake hands, you're meant to look someone in the eye.
That's so
and
petty,
Conte,
though.
You could hear him going, what do you want?
But one thing I didn't rate though is that, you know, he said that and he said that with chest, but there's like four or five examples of him just shaking hands with managers.
Exactly.
And there's no eye contact from him whatsoever.
It's something in the heat of the moment that he's saying.
I know, of course, it's the heat of the moment thing, but listen, you can't be saying something like that with such conviction when you're... But you've done
on the
yourself.
Flip side, Conte was asked about it. He's like, no, that's between me and him.
I honestly think they've blessed it already. Like, I reckon it was like, it was there and then it happened. And it was such a good watch. Such a good watch.
Listen,
it might happen again. There will probably be a part two. This time, probably between the players.
Why can't they just let them fight?
It is, man.
Honestly, it'd be all time a rating.
Do you remember Def Jam made a video game where all the rappers would fight each other?
Exactly, yeah.
I'd love to see like a manager side.
Mark, or like hockey, bruv. They do that in hockey. They allow them to fight. Do that, man. Just once. See who's really about it, innit? Honestly, you will see Romero cower like a coward he is, bro. All the time he wants to fight. The reason he gets in people's faces is because he knows they're going to get broken up in 5 seconds.
Romero also has crazy eyes.
He's hilarious.
He's Argentinian. I
want to see who's really about it.
He's Argentinian.
I remember one time, I was listening to a podcast and our ex-footballer was talking about how Ian Wright would always say, we'll meet in the lounge. And then one time he said to Robbie Savage, We'll meet in the lounge. And then Robbie Savage cowered. That's what he's all about. That's what he was about. He was always about handbags, isn't it? And knowing he's going to get broken up. But if you say, see me in the car park, then we'll see who's really about it. Why don't they just one time allow them, say who's really about
bro,
it?
You're acting like this is Attitude Era WWE,
trust
bro. Like,
why don't you go and pitch that, man?
Bro, would you not watch it on pay-per-view?
I'm saying pitch it, bro. Little pay-per-view.
No, but I just want the Premier League to stop being like, oh, break it up. And all that, people jumping in like,
they've already been fined, so.
Where's the fights, man?
Both managers have been fined.
Was that not entertaining to you?
It was very entertaining.
Oh, for the neutral, I imagine. I mean, for me, I was loving it. I was like, yes, Conte, yes.
Conte would have got wrapped, honestly. No,
I mean, it does add some emotion in the game. Like, do you remember like Arsenal versus Liverpool last year when Arteta and Klopp went at it?
I advise him not to do that again.
I advise him not to do that.
Arteta is 5'8" and Klopp is 6'6".
Klopp would him,
no, but that's, it does, it gets you like riled up. Like, you get riled up with them.
It gets the crowd riled up.
Anfield after that was stirring.
It was 0-0 at that point. We beat you 4-0.
That
was literally the turning point in the game. It was literally the turning point in the game. It can be a big cat. That obviously being right at the end of, well, obviously there was the first one after the goal, but that being right at the end of the game, it'll be interesting. I want to see that, because who was it that said it? I think it was Neville or Carragher or someone else on Sky Sports anyway before the game, and they were saying actually they feel like Spurs Chelsea has a bit more bite to it than Spurs Arsenal.
I don't know
what it is.
I think Chelsea hates Spurs more than Arsenal. 100%.
Yeah, they know. They probably do, yeah. I mean, everyone hates us, but well, yeah, I mean, can't think why.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're a normal human being, you hate Tom.
No, it's weird, though. I don't get why we're so hated. If we're a club that don't win nothing, so really, where's the hate coming from?
This goes to show, like, you know, goes to show you that you're not a threat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're not really a threat to anyone, so it's weird. But listen, let them hate us. That's why I'm semi-glad that we got a point in the way that we did. But obviously, look.
Semi-glad. I'd be buzzing. I'd be
especially. I'm over the moon.
If we had scored that in the 96th minute or whenever it was.
Nothing's better than last minute.
I can't ignore the decisions that went our way.
I thought you were going to do a Harry Kane. I love scoring.
We got a last minute winner. Basically, we got a last minute winner. Oh, we won 3-2. Oh, sorry. What? 1-3-4?
Just stop.
Can you not count?
Just stop, bro.
Leave him alone, man.
He's good. He's lucky he's good at football, you know.
My guy. I think Richarlison thought he scored though. Like my mum.
My goodness, I've never seen someone celebrate so hard for a goal he didn't score.
I'd be doing the same, bro.
Bro, I believed him. He sold it to me.
I thought he scored.
I thought he scored. I was like, bloody hell, Richarlison, you know. And then when I see it, he was nowhere near the ball.
I honestly hate Chelsea. Yeah, just a little bit less than Tottenham, and I don't mind the draw between the two teams. But I was screwing when Tottenham got that last minute because the scenes were crazy.
Can I just like, watching that game, I learned a lot about myself. I thought I hated them as much as like I thought I hated them equally.
No.
Then when I saw that last minute equaliser, I realised then that I hate Tottenham a lot more than
like
Chelsea.
That. It's like Chelsea's here and Arsenal's like here.
Oh, you hate Chelsea more?
Oh wait, no, Arsenal's like here. Chelsea's
confused. She's
that's not even literally. You don't know what's higher. Anyway.
it was absolute scenes.
Just don't do a Dom and start saying I wish everyone well. I hate them.
But for the neutral, it must have been a good game.
I can tell you right now, it's a very good game. I don't know, but Abdi's very interested, bro.
Can you not hear someone screaming?
Of course I can.
This is the horror podcast. alright. They're reenacting Tuchel versus
Conte.
What's going
on out there?
That scream was Conte. He just woke up thinking about Tuchel.
So against Wolves, what are you expecting from your team? Are you expecting obviously a better performance?
Yeah.
But what then happens if you let's say you draw against Wolves?
If I'm being honest, I think
Conte sacked.
A better performance is inevitable. I do think I fancy us against Wolves.
Yeah.
I don't want to be obviously overconfident. Anything can happen, but I fancy us against
home,
Wolves. We're at home. We'll have more of the ball.
Do you think Richarlison, Perisic, Bissouma?
I think the only change will be Perisic.
Yeah, Perisic would definitely.
I don't think he loves Højbjerg, and I'm kind of annoyed that it was him that scored the goal because I think if he didn't score, maybe Conte might have thought, let me bring in Bissouma, but. I think he'll probably bring in Perisic and that's it, I reckon.
Fair enough.
Mm. Remember, we're only two games into the season.
Yeah, you can't... No one could be getting carried away about anything.
Players will win their... new signings will...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's...
Have you noticed that the three of us just went, oh, my God, like...
I know.
Anyway, you were saying, Mark.
Yeah, so...
I can't even remember.
I think you was going to say that the new signings will be bedded in. Like, it's only
pretty
game
much
two.
That, yeah.
So, yeah.
They'll find their place in that team.
Yeah.
Moving on to Villa versus Everton. And Danny Ings, Buendia. Mm.
By the way, first.
Digne,
yes, Tans.
Digne, come on now.
he's scored two goals in the Premier League since in the last two years, yeah. One of them is an own goal for Villa.
his last goal was 2019.
Yeah,
like his actual goal.
And then again, he does the same thing playing for Villa and goal for Everton.
Yeah.
He needs to be investigated, that guy. also, I was right. Matt Target is clear.
Okay.
An overrated guy. He's got a foreign name and people like him. If you press that button one more time, innit, bro?
You can tell you've been missing for a couple of weeks because you just can't stop yourself today.
I've been loading some
random crap, like in the most random moments.
I've been loading my agendas.
I'm sure you have.
Clear of who?
DJ.
All right, bro, but like.
He used to play for Aston Villa, they sold him, and now they brought in a guy who's less than. And I said it earlier this season, so it's not random.
No, but big up Gerrard.
Earlier this season.
Big up Gerrard.
He said it last season, anyway.
Do you want to fight?
I would love to, bro. I actually would love to.
Meet me in the lounge, bro.
Meet me in the lounge, yeah?
You'll be shook like.
Meet me in that club lounge.
Abdi will be home so quickly.
You think I'm scared of Mark? Me?
I think you're scared of everyone.
I'm not scared of anyone.
Man, you're like that little dog that barks, 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 but then a bigger dog comes. You're like,
so, so you're calling me a dog?
A little chihuahua, yeah.
No, but on that Everton Villa game, or other way around, Villa Everton, a really good game. I don't know if anyone watched it. I watched the full game.
Bits and bobs, bits and bobs.
It was a good game. That Danny Ings goal was quality.
Yeah,
proper striker.
He didn't do that enough last season.
Didn't
no.
More of that.
Can I just say, yeah? Obviously, I'm loading my agendas, and there's a few Villa players in my agendas. But Coutinho's got to start playing better now.
Otherwise, yeah, I actually agree. I actually, in fact, I think most people agree with you at this point.
He's got, because Buendia, like, I saw Villa fans during preseason saying Buendia's been much better than Coutinho every time he plays. He should be starting.
He's injured Buendia's, now, isn't it, Coutinho?
Well, yeah, looks, I mean, he's like got it. He's got to step up, otherwise he's not going to get his best.
He came off injured. Buendia come on for the last 30 or so and completely changed the game in every aspect, in terms of goal threat for Villa, the football that Villa were playing, just general. He was really good, so
and I'm
it'll be an interesting one to watch that, whether he goes moving forward when Coutinho's fit with 2 10s and then one of Watkins or Ings, or the 1 10 and as he's been doing, or as he did against
two
Everton,
tens,
Watkins.
You mean Coutinho and Ramsey, yeah?
No, Coutinho and Buendia.
Oh, both of them together? Okay, cool. Because they've been playing a midfield three at the moment with
midfield. Obviously, just take the midfield three out of the equation. So you've got the 6 and the 2 8s. And then either he's going to... It'd be interesting. The point I was making is whether he goes with 2 10s behind Watkins or Ings. Or what
sort
he did
like
against
Chelsea
Everton.
Chelsea were doing at the beginning of last season.
Or what he did against Everton with Ings up top. Watkins just off the left. And Coutinho, which obviously, fair enough, is not really the position you're going to get the most out of him. But kind of floating around that right side.
Because he's got Bailey as well. Bailey started the first game of the season.
But big blow for Villa. Diego Carlos out for 9 months.
Yeah, really Mings is back.
6 to 9 months.
Be your worst nightmare.
Mings was back anyway.
To make a big signing and then
he dropped
Conte.
Yeah, he dropped Conte. Yeah.
I don't understand the Conte agenda.
I don't like Mings as a player, but I kind of feel bad for him. Like people, like Graham Souness has been going in on him for.
Oh
no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get. Like that is so random.
What did he say
said,
again?
He said for a guy who's not achieved much in his career.
That is so rude.
But Tyrone Mings comes out and he talks about things that are important. Like literally, the community talks about like. If you watch the little clip from Laura Wood, she really broke down perfectly.
Is it a coincidence that Graham Souness has started doing stuff for TalkSport?
Well, he just signed for TalkSport.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
literally just said that.
No, but you said, is it a coincidence? I was like, no, yeah. He works for TalkSport. Why would it be a coincidence?
About him going at Mings and Beanhead.
Well, but bro, he was doing it on Sky for 10 years, bro.
No, okay.
And Beanhead.
The moment.
My head is not on Beanhead. My head's big, but it's not on
All right.
But yeah, Mings, he came back in, but I don't think he was all that bad in this game, to be honest. It wasn't.
Like, I'm with you on that one.
He's playing
he
up against.
Wasn't bad
he's
at
playing
all.
Against no striker, I get that.
Yeah.
Everton, they need to butt their ideas up and they need to get a striker. It's ridiculous. They don't have any.
What's the name of that midfielder that Everton?
Onana.
Onana, yeah.
He's
good.
I can't lie. I thought you was teeing yourself up.
Did you hear
I did.
Oh, Nana.
He looked alright. Apart from the mistake, he looked alright.
Why did he go Everton though?
He chose West Ham.
Lille said 40 million would bite your hand up. This guy apparently had only played like 10 times for Lille.
No, but he said million. Apparently his preferred.
Yeah,
you know, he had a direct choice between
West Ham and
Everton.
He's a nonsense guy. He's an unserious person, is he?
Mate.
Is it going to be like when Benteke signed for Villa and said, I thought this was London?
But he plays for the Belgian national team, and I think he had a chat with Roberto Martinez, who might have swayed him. But obviously, that's
Roberto
just,
Martinez
that's just
said, don't go to that shambles organisation. But when you think about it, like, if I know you don't like him, but if Calvert-Lewin comes back in and they have a three behind him in McNeil, Damari Gray and Anthony Gordon, it's not too bad, to be honest.
No, it's all right.
It's a decent.
And Onana looked like he provided like burst energy. Like,
do you know who I've got stocks in this season now?
Go on.
It won't be centre mid.
Yeah,
saying this earlier today.
I'm just like,
balling out.
Because in the final third, he's literally a shambles human. Like, he's one of the worst decision makers I've ever seen in my life. We know, we saw him for a couple of years. But when he gets from the middle, the middle third to the final third, the way he can, like, he's actually can hold people off, he can progress
dribbler,
the pace, good dribbler,
a quick passer.
Good passer. He's actually.
You know what? That makes sense. Whose idea was that?
Frank Lampard.
Big him up for that. Big him up.
Yeah, I know, but still, Lampard would do something mad to him, innit? It won't be false nine. They desperately need to bring a striker in.
But like, who can they bring in though?
But look at flipping Nottingham Forest and how many players they're buying in. They brought in Emmanuel Dennis, yeah, and then they're bringing in Morpé now.
Well, Morpé is, he has to make a decision because Everton are in for Morpé.
Oh, well, then...
Okay, fair enough. That makes sense then.
That won't be too bad. Morpé is a 10 goals a season guy, you know. So, I mean, if you can sub 10 goals from him, 10 goals from Calvert-Lewin, then...
But they still have Rondon, in it, so...
Okay, whatever. Forgot that.
I'm
seriousness now. That whole club is a shambles. Literally, you go through that team and the amount of money they're wasting, bro.
But they rejected a 42 million bid for, Gordon.
Yeah.
I think that's crazy. I can't lie. I think that's crazy. Chelsea,
I mean, Gordon's a good player, yeah, but in terms of profile, how many of those kind of players they have?
We were interested.
They've got Pulisic, they've got Hudson-Odoi, they're quick wingers. Like, what are you wasting your time?
They obviously see something in Gordon.
Don't you need a striker?
No, I feel like Chelsea have been bidding for everyone that is available.
Genuinely.
I mean, maybe he should just join the club and say no.
I think the plan would be to play him up top.
Gordon.
I saw something about that.
No way.
Why are you saying that with such... He's like, a winger. Why are you so surprised?
Yeah, he's a winger.
He's been playing up front for everyone. He played up front the other day.
No, it was Damari Gray who's playing up front.
Yeah, was it him?
No, it was Anthony Gordon.
It was Anthony Gordon.
Yeah.
Wow. I just think they need to slow down. He's had one good season.
Exactly, there's not enough. He's literally played less than 20.
These aren't just rumours. These are reliable reports saying that Chelsea will go back in with a 50 million bid.
I swear, if they do that, they're actually insane.
That's crap.
I think we're all forgetting that. It's not what a club is willing to pay for. It's what the club who owns him values him at.
He's not valued at 50 million. Well, then
you say, guys, we're not in the crack business. We'll be with you.
But if you want a player and the club is set and you've got the money,
so you think he's worth 50 million to the
club?
Did
I just say that?
No, but
you're excusing
it.
I'm excusing it because where are we going
to
stop?
When they say, oh, we want 50, and they say, sorry, did you say 15? There you go. No,
yeah,
50.
I don't work for Everton. I didn't say oh, we're not accepting 42 million. I would have accepted 42
million.
Well,
obviously, Everton's going to try and rinse it because he's their golden guy.
And then with 50 million, they can go and buy a couple more guys.
Yeah, man, I think they should be all over that. All over.
The Everton fans will literally burn that stadium to the ground if they sell their prized asset. Literally, the Everton fans love him, innit?
He's like and 20, bro. Like, relax.
But still, what do Everton have?
I'm saying them. Like, they need to relax.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I mean...
Like, he hasn't done anything yet for them to be this, like...
Yeah, but he's your young guy, innit? Like, obviously, he's a different level, but I'll probably...
You guys see the news about... Saka left.
That's a completely different level. Yeah.
Did you guys see the news about Dele Alli going to Besiktas?
They're
pushing to sign him, yeah.
Is he
going to
sit on the bench there as well? I saw him sitting on the bench, I was like, what a fall off, man.
It's crazy how bad he's been off,
yeah,
anyway.
He's so bad. But
so bad.
Moving on to... Our 3 p.m. kickoffs.
Secret green, isn't it?
Good vibes.
I said this at the start of the podcast, do you remember? Anyway, we're off to the Emirates. Sunny.
Oh, we actually, is it Arsenal next year? I can't lie, I thought United were next and you was cheering.
Oh, no.
You're actually
no.
cheering, yeah?
No.
Sarcastically.
Well, there you go.
There was no sarcastic in that.
That's crazy. It was a new soundbite to go to as well.
It wasn't like a clap like this.
No, do you know what? That was more like a reaction. Like, that was like instinct. She just...
Maybe you're just happy for us.
Just get into it.
Anyway, Gabriel Jesus.
Oh, no. Hold on, slow down. When we were going to the Emirates, yeah, the atmosphere was literally, it was like euphoria, innit? It was like, this guy walked over to me, yeah, and he had a glee on his face. I could just tell, like, he was shining, glowing. He was so happy. But just generally, like, the atmosphere was so positive. It was almost as if, like, we were in the Champions League. Like, that's the atmosphere I had before the game, innit?
Well, it's what I told Mark over lunch today. I was like, man, I just feel like I'm falling back in love with Arsenal. Like, it's been a long process, but these last year and where we're at now is, like, a whole process of me, like, actually enjoying watching Arsenal play.
Yeah, everyone I spoke to before the game outside the ground were just like, we're going to win. Everyone thought we were going to win. But we had reason to because, like, literally, we looked good in preseason, made good signings. Obviously,
looked good in the first game.
Yeah, exactly. Beat Palace, who, you know, are not easy side as well. But then, yeah, going into the ground as well, like, just generally, like...
There's just a buzz.
There's definitely a buzz around Arsenal right now. The team looked confident as well. Like, Leicester started off well for, like, 2 minutes.
And then we just got
hold of the ball and then we just started popping it around. And like Junior said, man, there was a guy sitting behind me who was when Jesus missed a chance and he said, "Oh, you're so shit," blah, blah. I was like,
"Oh God."
I was like, "Wash your dirty mouth."
That's crazy. That is, like, crazy.
How can you not appreciate this gift we've got from Man City?
Because honestly, like, he's the type of player who could just make something out of nothing. Yeah. Like, and I'll be real. Apart from when he played at right wing last season for Man City, I didn't see this player.
Same.
I did not see this player. I thought we were getting like maybe someone who could finish off chances in a box. I did not see this player.
I think he's full of confidence because I genuinely don't think there's that pressure on him. As in, he's won the Premier League with City, he's won all the trophies. He's come to Arsenal now, main guy, loads of game time. I just think...
No, I disagree. I think that there is pressure because, like... I think there is pressure because, like, if you're leaving Man City to be the guy to say, look, I should have been your number nine. I should have been the guy who's starting. You're going to a team who has struggled to get back into the Champions League.
I suppose.
I think there is pressure. I think he's a guy who, let's be real, like, you're leaving Man City, you still want to play in the Champions League. You're not leaving to play Europa.
True, yeah.
So I think there is pressure in the fact that now he has to be the reason that Arsenal
get
back into the Champions League. So for that alone is a lot of pressure. But what I think has happened is the trust and faith that Arteta and Arsenal have put in him has made him relish the opportunity. He's like, now he even said in an interview, I'm finally happy, I feel like myself again.
Yeah, he does look very happy, to be fair.
So I'll sit next to our old lady who for the first 15 minutes she was watching Game of Thrones on a tablet. I don't know why. And then when Jesus
was up there with all the bougie,
man's in another tax bracket now,
bruv. When half time, like, you know what half time is like at the Emirates, bruv. Like, if you want to queue for a drink or food or anything like that, you're going to be there until the second half starts, isn't it? So, but where I was, bruv, no queues at all.
Shut up.
I went toilet, no sort of single queue. I could have gone back in as well, bruv, if I wanted to. They gave me a free bottle of water, but I think they were giving it out yesterday because it was hot anyway. But I got.
I didn't get a bottle of water.
Oh, wow, okay.
Damn.
Because I went. I didn't know. I went to pay for it, and the guy goes, "No, you're cool, bro." Yes.
Damn.
Included.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I made a mistake. I had a vegan pie. It tastes like dog shit. But whatever. So I was sitting next to this lady, and then when Jesus got up, yeah, she was like, "Oh my God, he's amazing! He's amazing!" I was like, "You might even watch it for the first 15 minutes, isn't it?" When he scored, everyone was just literally like, I think about 10 people at the same time said, "We were really struggling with Lacazette," you know, because everyone could just see what we've been through and what we've got now. Because you see that chance here where Ramsdale, I think just after he scored his second goal,
he turned Evans, and then he controlled his head,
I was just
that finish and the first was lovely.
Yeah. But if his first goal, if you see what he did, like, he was out on the wing as well. And then he's the one who played it into Martinelli, yeah? If that's Lacazette, he's still there. Yeah. But Jesus, he drops deep, he gets involved. Mm.
He's
always getting into the box as well, trying to finish off those chances as well.
He's already got more open play goals than this season than Lacazette.
No, he's got the same as in one game.
That's wild, isn't it? So, he was fantastic. I also thought Martinelli was fantastic as well. Like,
he started the season well.
Ripped up Fofana, like, badly. Like, 100 if Leicester are saying 100 mil, then they lost about 15 million off that, bro. Because
Fofana was bouncing off Martinelli. Like,
listen, he's already thinking, my head's at Chelsea.
I saw that.
He clapped over to the away fans, didn't he? The Leicester.
Yeah,
fans.
And there was an interview where he said that he feels really unsettled that he hasn't been allowed to leave.
He said that in an interview. Oh, that's bad.
Do you know who that reminds me of? Do you remember when Schneiderlin was trying to leave Southampton? And then he said the one time Arsenal, like, literally bid for him, and then Southampton turned it down because Callum Chambers went to Arsenal the day before. And then he said, Southampton said, "We can't sell you to the same team." We were like, because they were almost around that fourth, fifth position. And he goes, I was ready to cause a massive fight in the training ground. So that's the thing. That's the problem you can find sometimes. If a player really wants to leave and you turn them down, then literally they might become a stinker on the training ground. I can imagine that's what it's like at Man United's training ground, literally every day, innit? There's a stink. There's a fight going on every day.
But I there is a level of professionalism that you have to have. You can't just, because you don't get your way, you can't throw your toys out the pram and then...
To the club.
Yeah, but it's your career, man.
Yeah, I know it's your career, but it's not like he's suffering at Leicester.
Yeah.
He's playing Premier League football. And Leicester, I mean, if we remove all of the transfer, like, will they, won't they go? It's a quality team.
Yeah, and they're a well-run club. They've got good owners.
I would I wouldn't say they're a quality team.
No, I mean, I'm not talking about like challenging for top six. No, I'm saying that the teams around them.
Keep going. I was just offering water.
The teams around them, like I'm talking about, like West Ham. Well, not Everton, but like Aston Villa. If you look at those teams, like, would you not pick a lot of their players over? Like,
I genuinely now, like, no, not that Leicester team. It's a shambles.
No, Leicester have a lot of quality within their team. They're just a dysfunctional team.
Madison Barnes.
Individually, 100%.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, fair enough. But then outside of that, it's still like, I just don't know what's got. I think Brendan Rodgers, I think when we first predicted it, I think he'll be one of the first to go.
I think they should get Poch.
I think they should get Graham Potch. Exactly, that's what I was about to say. If they're going to
100% get
Potter is an outstanding coach, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's unbelievable. I got two questions for Arsenal lot, seeing as we're on Arsenal. When it was 3-2, were there any worries there, or is it now? Are you feeling like the team's gone to a different level where even when it's 3-2 and Leicester are chasing, they've just got the second? You're still confident that, you know what, actually, we're so much better than these. We're going to see this out comfortably. Or was it... Ooh.
There was a little bit of like, come on, Arsenal. But honestly, at no point did I really feel like we were in danger of conceding again, because Leicester were very fortunate to get their first goal. And then they literally, because in my opinion, apart from Fofana had a chance in the first half, they literally had those chances. That's it. We literally restricted them. Every time they tried to go long to Vardy, who, by the way, I'll get onto him in a second. Just the way they were playing as well, it was very much... Madison had a bit of a Bruno game. Every time he was getting the ball, it was a rocket launcher ball. It was very much like... I didn't think they had any control in midfield as well. They definitely got outrun, you know.
The thing that I thought was like... You know, like, every time Leicester pegged us back, we upped the level and scored again.
Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like we weren't even at our best.
Yeah.
And I felt like at any moment that we needed, we could have upped it. And without those two goals, we should have been so clear of them. Jesus in the first half could add four.
Yeah, he quite missed the cover.
Xhaka hit the post.
What's his name? Ward made a couple of really good saves. Yeah. So it was just like when those two goals went in, it's like Abdi said, oh, it's just a bit annoying that we conceded those. Mm. But
the scoreline looked control. The game looked closer for the slower scoreline.
Yeah, wasn't it at all.
Couple of funny things as well. When Vardy dived, the whole stadium was in "Your wife is a grass."
Yeah,
Jamie Vardy, your wife is a grass. That was funny.
Jamie Vardy,
I was standing up with my arms wide doing that.
I was thinking that with chest.
Yeah, and another one is when Tielemans got substituted. We'll see you next week.
My second question of the two is, look, I know it's been a good start to the season. 2 wins from 2. But then I was looking at your fixtures, and it's Bournemouth, Fulham, Villa. There's a chance you could go 5 from 5.
Yeah, I reckon.
And then we've got Man United, Tottenham.
The way you're going with Man United, I might as well stick them in and say it's 6 from 6. But
that could go either way.
I honestly think your toughest fixture of the next four is probably Villa. But
I honestly can't see where we drop points for the rest of the season.
Such
an
idiot.
For the rest of the season.
This guy,
114 points.
Shut up.
Mad.
No, I'm very excited. Like, and when we go into games, I'm very confident. The way we're playing. I got to say, not only Jesus, like, he's been fantastic, but I know he scored an own goal, but Saliba is Rolls Royce, man. He is fantastic. Junior, he genuinely had faultless game.
Why didn't he have him earlier?
No, I think last season, but I wasn't too upset about it because we had White and Gabriel had a good partnership. The season before that, when we were playing Mustafi and Holding and Murray and all that nonsense,
is it Saliba and Gabriel? They're your two centre backs.
And White is playing right back at the moment
because of Tomiyasu.
So if Tomiyasu comes back in, what is White going to come back in?
Interesting to see, but I think at the moment he's just going to stick to what we're
doing.
So
basically, he's levels above White.
Who
said that?
Saliba.
Who said that?
No, I'm saying Saliba's level above White. Right,
we've had Holding, Mari, Mustafi, all that nonsense, Kolasinac, David Luiz with his nonsense moments. I'm not complaining that we have three good centre backs in it. You know, Liverpool have four good centre backs.
Yeah.
Chelsea have three or four good centre backs.
Yeah, true.
This is the first time we actually have depth at the back as well.
Yeah.
In terms of Saliba though, like he just there's an element of calm that he brings at the back as well, and I like the partnership he already he's got with Gabriel. I actually like him White at right back because he allows us to build better from the back. Got Zinchenko as well, who's
really taking. Yeah. It's like he's actually been at Arsenal forever.
So then the way we're playing right now is almost we're playing 2-3-5. So Xhaka joins in with the front four. And then you got number five. I'm not saying his name. Number five, and then you've got White and Zinchenko, and then you got two at the back. So we end up like literally, it's a very tactical flexibility with the team as well. Because when Zinchenko comes into midfield, Xhaka's overlapping like a flipping wing back. Like he's looking like a Cucurella out here, isn't it? So it's interesting watching Xhaka at the moment. He's getting forward so much as well. He was on his Frank Lampard bag, bro. He was getting into the box time and time again and popping off shots.
You got
as well.
A goal and assist.
Some guy behind me was literally saying every single person's name wrong. He says Saliba.
Saliba.
Oh, I love that Saliba.
But just back on the fixtures, we've got Bournemouth, Fulham, Villa, Man United, Everton, Brentford before we play Spurs.
I think you win all of those.
No, you can't. Honestly, I don't think they'll win the next like 7-8 games in the league in a row.
They're very favourable fixtures.
Six games.
Do you remember which league we're talking about? I know it's been a good season, but you can't. And I'm not even trying to take, but after two games, you cannot say we're going to win our next six because we won our first two.
I was telling you before, I'm worried about United away, mainly because of historical reasons.
And also, they're never bound scored, to fix up at some
point. We've never scored more than two goals at Old Trafford, and the times that we have, we've never won. So
you know the derby, North London derby, is that at your...
1st of October, yep.
In the space of four game weeks, you've got Spurs, City, Liverpool and City. All at the Emirates.
Put it this way, I think you'll be in a better position than us, and probably I don't know what Chelsea's fixtures are. I think our next we've got Wolves, Nottingham Forest. That's going to be tough. Then we've got West Ham away, and then we've got Fulham.
But you, like Arsenal, you should.
And
be
then you've got Man City.
West Ham is not guaranteed at all. Yeah, and
you're better than all of those teams. That's the thing.
Yeah, we are, but
that's the mentality I have. I feel like the next five games we're better than all those teams.
If it was that easy, City would win 38 out of 38 games every single
year.
That's true. This is not the way football works.
That's true. But like, all right, now we've got like R9 and we've got, obviously got
anyway, can we stop? I don't like hearing Arsenal playing well. Pains me that you have such...
When I can't make the last podcast because I'll be parade for the next because we've been in the league.
Do you feel vindicated with your passionate Arteta?
Vindicated. Man said vindicated.
Oh yeah.
Listen, don't worry about what I'm saying.
With your
passionate Arteta out shouts for the whole of last season.
No, because obviously, like right now, Arteta's doing very well, and I can't even criticize him a single bit because he's brought in good players, got a style of players good. But the truth is, Arteta's actually lucky to be in the job because there's many times throughout his tenure where he probably should have been sacked.
Have you been watching the?
He's not a bad point. Eighth, fifth, right?
Exactly, and also let's not forget that the season under where we were still locked down. That was a terrible year. Like, literally, do you remember when we lost to like?
We lost like eight home games. It is literally top four or bust.
Yeah, for me.
Bust.
But they've given him a new contract, and I feel like him giving the new. Edu made a point in preseason, said the reason we gave him a new contract is because the players need to have certainty about who the manager is.
Listen, I can say this. Like, I'm not even questioning you from like a hatred perspective, because from the outside looking in, I know it's taken a while now. This is his fourth season, but. It just looks to me like, and you can all correct me if I'm wrong, but the culture's changed, style of football's changed, your personnel. Squad is so much better now.
Yeah.
There's an aura, like the aura's back. Before it's like people, oh, we're going to play Arsenal, it doesn't matter, you know. Like,
let's hope that aura fades away.
It's always like when you look at the starting 11, you think, okay, this is a team now. Before there was always...
Cedric's still on the bench.
Last game of he wasn't on the bench at the weekend. Thank God, I didn't have to have that stress on my mind. the last game of last season against Everton, the back four was Cedric, Holding, Gabriel, and Nuno Tavares. I mean, still like
and what we had on the bench, we had Tierney and Tomiyasu this time on the
exactly,
bench.
Exactly, yeah, the ones because he can bring five subs now
and Smith Rowe.
We brought on Tierney, Tomiyasu, Nketiah and Smith Rowe. That's four good
but
options.
But the drop off for me, Jesus to Nketiah, is mad.
No, no, I don't think so at all.
I think it is. I think it's
mad. I think Jesus is a better player, but in terms of style of play and the way they both play.
And Nketiah has come on leaps and bounds.
Nketiah is very good right now. I'm very
you
much.
Forget got, that he I've scored last at the end of last season in the little, no, the little time okay, he scored two goals against Chelsea.
He scored five in eight starts. Yeah.
I mean, Chelsea were awful in that game, but anyway.
But 5 and 8, you take that. As a backup for
who's
Kane,
who's your backup striker?
Richarlison.
Who's going to score more goals, Nketiah or Richarlison?
Here we go.
Richarlison.
Okay, cool. Let's go back on her Twitter, innit, about all talking about Richarlison. I saw sort of slagging him off on Twitter.
I don't rate Richarlison, innit, but he will score more than Nketiah.
No,
he won't.
No. Do you want to put a wager on it now?
No. 100k.
All right.
100k, yeah?
55th minute. 100k wager.
What I do, I think Richarlison will get more football than Nketiah. Prem football.
Well, Nketiah's played both games. He's come on.
Well, he hasn't played both games. He's played
for how long?
He hasn't scored.
So the minutes he's getting are not enough for him to make how many minutes? I'm genuine question. How many minutes?
Well, Richarlison came on for the last 10 minutes against Palace and same
10,
game.
So if he's getting 10 minute cameos,
Richarlison has played more minutes than
Nketiah will score.
Richarlison didn't play in the first game and got a half hour.
Yeah. That's
second.
What I'm saying.
I know.
So he's
yeah,
played more
of
minutes
course.
Than,
yeah.
Than
the fact of the matter is, Nketiah will score more goals than Richarlison. Okay, we'll see, I'm sure we'll of that.
Okay. Anyway, so Brighton drew with Newcastle. It's a better start this time around for Newcastle than it was last season, but nothing. I mean, they were pretty lucky to walk away with any points in this game because Brighton really peppered them. But it's the same old thing.
You
they
take
can't
what you can
score.
Get. Yeah, if you can't put the ball in the back of the net, then...
They brought on a Japanese player who looked really good.
Yeah,
I see a few
clips of him.
Can't remember his name, though.
Why can Brighton find good players everywhere except strikers?
No, but Danny Welbeck's been good this season.
No, he has.
Right.
Yeah.
We're two games in.
Zero goals, mate.
Balling out.
Zero goals, but
balling out, no goals. But seriously, they got great scouting,
bro,
for everywhere.
You
want to
keep playing footsie with me?
Oh, sorry, is that your foot?
He's like your foot.
You thought it was Tanya.
You want to give it Tanya's foot?
Mad.
I'm not going to drink the rest of the water. I'll pour it on someone. Keep going, yeah.
But Newcastle give Eddie Howe a new deal.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is
what he's earned it, innit?
Huh? Of course,
yeah,
he has.
I
no,
changed my mind.
When the takeover happened, I don't know if it was just me, but everyone, I was kind of thinking, right, how long?
Yeah.
How long is he going to last? Do they want to put their own stamp on things? But fair play, he's impressed them.
I thought he would have been backed a little bit more this summer.
Yeah, I'm surprised they
who they brought in,
many
like,
signings.
Botman.
I think apparently they're in for Madison.
Signed Target permanently.
Target, yeah. They signed
Nick Pope.
They haven't really been in for anybody else.
They have been, but they've lost, like, the striker they really wanted
Ekitike
has gone to PSG.
They're in for Madison.
They
but
are
on
in
a serious
Madison,
one.
Yeah.
They actually are.
And there's another player,
João Pedro.
Yeah, João Pedro.
Yeah, I saw that.
So
yeah.
The thing is like I think for the now, I think Eddie Howe is perfect for Newcastle. I don't think they could have expected getting someone like who they're gonna get firstly, like bringing in Poch. But I feel like they need to up a level before they bring in Poch.
It's like the Mark Hughes of.
That's exactly what I was thinking about.
Just on Brighton's, like I watched the highlights of that game. Just the fact that they still haven't got in a striker and they're selling more players as well. It's literally, I think that's going to affect them again. They're just not going to get to the next level as well.
Well,
Pascal Gross, do you see when the Japanese guy ran through everyone and then he cut it back to Gross? I think Pascal Gross can only score against Man United. That's all he knows.
But also, you're putting all of your faith in a injury-prone striker in Danny Welbeck.
Yeah. It's risky. They need to get one. I mean, you'd think that they've got something planned, surely.
I would, if I'm... I don't know what their the profile that they're looking for, but and they probably can't... they can't compete with Newcastle spend, but I'd be... If I'm Brighton, I'm looking at João Pedro.
Yeah.
That'd be a decent
sign. Is he like a striker, though?
Yeah, you could play that, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But they would say, I was reading up today, so the issue with the Newcastle is obviously he's got 3 years left on his deal, so Watford hold all the power.
Ah, yeah.
So unless people are willing to pay the money, it looks like he's going to be staying at Watford.
Damn.
Yeah. Which, they've lost Dennis. Saar is heavily being rumoured to, like, or heavily being linked to Leeds and a couple of other clubs. So if they lost their whole first choice front three, Watford, then
yeah, it'd
be an interesting one.
Just because of time, I'm conscious that we still have
a lot. Yes, we're moving on to Man United.
No, we're not. We're moving on to Man City.
Oh, damn.
They won 4-0 over.
Regardless of the result, which I think all of us expected, the one thing I want to say is last season, we kind of had a LOL at Lukaku, who had a game at Crystal Palace where he had seven touches.
Haaland
had a game where he had eight touches, but obviously one of them was an assist. But is it that the Premier League is nothing like any of those other leagues where you get a striker in who's bagging, like, for example, Serie A or the Bundesliga, and then they come to the Premier League and it's just a different animal?
Well, look at Jadon Sancho anyway. No, you're right. I think there is an
he's in the Barclays. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, because you think, like, obviously I'm not saying write off Haaland. He's 21.
There's no writing him off, but he has to, listen, there's no doubt in how good of a goal scorer he is. But in terms of just that general football on a pitch, there's no doubt. I think he was on the pitch for 70 odd minutes. Alvarez come on for the final 20. That's what, a touch every 8 or 9 minutes?
That's crazy.
Yeah, but if anything, the fact that
in a team that keeps the ball for 70 minutes.
He didn't score, but they won 4-0. I think the
problem is that when you have a player like Haaland who's not getting involved in the game, you might say, oh, his runs are dragging defenders there and still here, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think that's enough.
Mm. Don't you think they need to adapt a little bit to his style of play? Because he's not a... He's not like a Jesus.
Well, you saw it against West Ham, his second goal. Mm. That was them adapting. Yeah. Well, that was KDB more so adapting to his style of play. You saw him making that run off the last defender. Beautiful ball through. Mm. And that's the type of ball that Haaland thrives off.
Yeah.
So unless City need to adapt, he also needs to adapt.
But the thing is like when you play against City, there's no way. That obviously it will happen if you're chasing a game, but there's no way that you start the game with a high line unless you're Liverpool. Mm. You will start with a low block. And that's going to go counter against what Haaland needs on the football pitch. It goes against his strength. So he needs to adapt because he's not going to get that space a lot.
Well, he might get adapting.
It might happen, like, for example, if a team's chasing, then he'll get a lot of space. But if, for example, against Crystal Palace, because Crystal Palace are the kings of this, at Selhurst Park, there's no way that they're going to give him that much space.
Hey, Haaland is not immune to the slander. He's going to get it. If he stings it up, then he's going to get it. Everyone's going
to
get it.
No, I think we need to keep the same energy. Because, we came for Lukaku, big money signing. Listen.
Listen, he had a... In terms of, like, the eight touches is not good enough, but there's...
He's still got an assist in the eight touches.
He's still going to pretty easily and consistently put that ball in the back 100%. Of the net. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Moving on to a pretty entertaining game at St. Mary's. Southampton.
West Ham, sorry.
That wasn't West Ham.
Southampton versus Leeds.
Oh, sorry.
St. Mary's is in the South Coast.
The worst thing is, she's literally got it right in front of her. Just read what's in front of you.
Just read.
Listen, maybe I can't read, innit?
Also, St. Mary's is in the South Coast. Leeds were 2-0 up. Rodrigo's had a good start to the season.
Top scorer.
But Southampton, credit to them, made some substitutions, brought on Aribo. And boy.
Who was the guy who played the ball to Kyle Walker-Peters?
Oh, the Donny with the dreads.
The braids. I can't remember his name, but he's one of the Wakanda 11 that they brought in. So.
Wakanda 11.
They brought in a bunch of brothers. He did that. He did the anti-Guardiola transfer window, innit?
They bought a bunch of
black players from Man City, innit? Guardiola was like, yeah, you go over there, bruv. But shout out to them, though. Like, that was a quality ball.
Was it... it wasn't Lavia. Oh, Mara. It was Mara.
Mara. And then Kyle Walker was a good finish. Brothers. Joe Aribo, good composure.
Bro, he looks a deep... Like, obviously, it's too early to be... But from what I've seen, he looks a decent, tidy player, good finisher.
My mate's a Charlton fan. He said he had stocks in him early. And he's a good. And then when he went to... he scored in the Europa League final, didn't he? Yeah. So, yeah. Good player, Aribo. He looks like at times he's a bit of a scruffy dribbler. Like, he looks like he's going to lose the ball, but he always manages to keep it. Yeah. And he's got good composure in the box as well, so... I like him. I like Aribo.
That was a nice finish. So, shall we move on?
I'm itching.
It's your time. It's your time to shine.
No, wait, wait, wait. Hold on. I've got something.
Oh, that was an evil growl.
Kojo.
Manchester United.
I love it. Man United played Brentford, if you didn't know, at the weekend.
Absolute sketch.
Right, can we, before we even get into the game, right?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
do you think of these? Do you agree that Man United fans should be so heavy on the Glazers? Do you think they are solely to blame? Because I'm seeing a lot of energy for the Glazers, and I get it. But these players, man, are just
I think it is two things. I think one is that they're blaming the owners because none of the money that has been spent, even though they've spent a billion, has come from the owners. It's
exactly.
it's all come from the club generating this money. Another thing is that the owners actually take money from United every single year.
Yeah,
isn't it a bit boring though? The same excuse of Man United. Oh, the owners.
That's what I mean.
First and foremost, Man United's team is shit, but like, there are plenty of shit teams in the Premier League, innit? So, I think Ten Hag is getting off scot free because the first two games, yeah. Where's the coaching? Where's this genius coach they're talking about all the time?
False nine.
He played Christian Eriksen false nine the first game and then holding midfielder the next game. I saw a tweet that killed me. Someone said he was playing deep line pacemaker.
No, I'm not laughing at that.
No, after busting up, after dying on live on mic.
The internet is rude, bro. The internet is rude. But how can you start a game, in the Barclays, with Dalot, Maguire, Rey Mysterio, and Luke Shaw?
Why is he playing Maguire? Please tell me why he's playing Maguire.
I don't.
Why is he playing?
I don't know.
Just look at it, like one
Do
of them.
Maguire's his captain. He already said that he wasn't going to take.
I agree with Abdi. He's not getting enough stick for me.
Yeah, you could just say take off that cap. Go sit on the bench.
What about Van de Beek as well? What's that?
Exactly.
About?
Yeah. Why the Eriksen playing deep line? But you want to play Fred and McTominay? Where's Van de Beek there for? What, for fun?
Isn't it?
That's your dad, bro. Your dad's here, and you're still on the bench. Look at your life, man. But yeah, going back to Rey Mysterio. Yeah, how can you be smaller than Saka as a centre back, bro? It's like putting Fred at centre. Why don't you just make a whole back four? Ryan Fraser, Cazorla, Hasbullah, and what's his name? Lisandro. Make that as a back four, then, innit? It's nonsense. Like, honestly, a couple weeks ago, Kodjo came on this podcast, and decided to lie on the World Wide Web, and say Lisandro is better than Ben White. In what world?
He also said Saliba.
Where's your shame, bro? Ben White and Saliba sit in the driver's seat of their car and can see the bonnet. Can Lisandro say the same thing?
Wow.
Why does your centre back need a booster seat to sit in his car? It's farcical. This is the Barclays. This isn't against Ricky Van Wolfswinkel and Vincent Janssen and all them man, who are NFTs now. You're playing against Ivan Toney, bro. If Chris Wood falls on you, you become a pancake, bro. This is the Barclays. You can't come here with 5'7" centre backs, bro.
You have to say he should have gone Arsenal, where he would have had a better role. No, that more bro. Suited to
because
the way
if we have a team photo shoot, they'd have to actually bring a bench for him to stand on, bro. Why is he standing on a stepladder? Honestly, Martin Keown once said, he goes, as a centre back, you spend a lot of your game crouched down because you need to be springed up just for head. If this guy crouches down, he'd disappear in the ground, bro. It's nonsense. Like he's farcically
smart. I think what Tanya was saying or trying to say was he would have a better role as a left back.
Yes, because he wasn't going to play
than a centre back.
Mate.
Yeah, because he's fair, a left back. True. He's not a centre back, right? No. Didn't he play the left back?
They call him the butcher of Amsterdam. Bro, he's the bouncer of a nursery, bro.
I'm sorry, but Ten Hag needs smoke.
Man said nursery.
My God, how could you? 65 million for Warwick Davis. Embarrassing. No. Could never be my team, bro. I mean, Where's his neck?
You was interested.
Where's your neck, bro? Yeah, until they started saying, bro. He's even 65 centimeters, bro. No. That's some shame, bro. Kojo, no. You decided to come on this podcast and start talking about it. My God. No. It's like having Tanya centre back, bro.
Hey, I'm probably taller than him.
Yeah, exactly, innit? Did you see the weight? Honestly,
I'm just gonna take this whole bit and send it to Kojo, bro.
No. Nah.
No, as I was going to say, I agree with Abby. I'm sorry, Ten Hag needs to be criticised. Man United, regardless of how bad their team, 4-0 at home against Brentford.
No, not at playing home.
Away from home. Playing Eriksen as a 6. And then before that, you played him as a false 9. You're not playing Van de Beek. You're persisting with McTominay and Fred. You're persisting with Maguire. Like, even the players that he signed. Like, don't get me wrong, this Malacia kid, they're hyping up. All right, he seems all right. But
he's from the Dutch league as well, man.
What? Yeah, like, I'm sorry, but
the
I said it.
You're not playing Adam Den Haag and all
he
that.
He ain't going to do well, Man United. He ain't proven.
Go ahead, Eagles, bro. No.
He's going to walk out or he's going to get, well, if they sack
No, I do think this has the potential to end really, really badly.
And Sancho. No, I'm sorry. Eric, 10 minutes. No one is saying, no one is saying anything about Sancho.
No, Sancho is a disgrace, man.
He's a flop.
He has scored as many goals.
No, less goals than managers.
He's a flop, sorry. I don't care. I'm coming for him, he's a flop.
He doesn't look like he can do anything. 72 million, isn't it? My God, what has happened? Rashford, he looks like he's lost all of his ability.
Yeah. It's like Space Jam, isn't it? Rashford looks like he's been Space Jam.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, he's a 10% of the player he used to be. It's just crazy. Maybe it was the injuries, but I don't know. He just looks, he can't do. Rashford looks like he's probably got about 50 drafts in his notes at the moment right now. Ready to go at any point. Guys, we'll be back again next week. Love Rash
and De Gea. Oh my god! You know what? I saw a podcast and someone was calling him Davide. Like, honestly, he is
embarrassing. That wasn't even.
So the question is, they let Henderson go, Dean Henderson. Because we haven't spoken about Nottingham Forest yet, but they let Dean Henderson go. He's a young goalkeeper who's had a very good season prior to his stint at Man United, at Sheffield United, kept them up because we saw what happened the next season. And you don't play him at all. And you give him like minutes here and there, but you don't play him. And then you let him go. And then he has a blinder against West Ham. And
I respect him.
Your goalkeeper is terrible.
Yeah, De Gea has been doing that for a while, but De Gea is just on so much money right now at the moment, and he's still seen as like the main guy. But I mean, what I respect about Henderson is he said, "I don't want to get to a point where Ten Hag looks at me and just keeps me around, then be his backup goalkeeper. Instead, he's thinking, I want to go straight away and play."
Did you hear what he said in that? I don't know if it was in that TalkSport interview or if it was in a different interview, but he said in the first couple of Ten Hag training sessions that he took, he actively tried not to impress him.
Yeah, so he doesn't keep him around, yeah.
Basically what you just said, but he actively basically...
I kind of respect it as well, because that's taking your career in your own hands, isn't it? So going out on loan as well, he wants to play, and this guy eventually wants to play for England as well. So, and he's a good goalkeeper, he's shown it as well. So I just feel like... But the thing is, if he would have stayed around, the way De Gea is moving right now, I think he would have gone back in team, but he can't take that risk.
He couldn't have taken that risk.
But then let's talk about the signings that Man United are trying. So obviously Rabiot's
mum.
Now, can I just say, like, you've got a squad right now that's kind of toxic, and so your solution is to go find a player whose mum fights with everyone, and who he himself can't get on with anyone.
We have an episode of this podcast called Waitrose Attitude, Little Ability, and it was about Rabiot.
Getting rid of their youngster, what's his name, Garner to fund the Rabiot deal.
That's
crazy.
So bad, because literally the whole point you send players out on loan, especially when you go into the Championship, is for them to do well and come back. Like Reece James, for example, Mason Mount, those are successful. What's the point in like him getting promoted with Nottingham Forest, being one of their best players, and then not even being
it's not everything, but it's part of what's wrong with United at the moment.
But is that a Ten Hag signing? Rabiot?
I think they're desperate at this point.
Mate, what is a Ten Hag signing right now?
Because they were linked with Arnautovic. But just something that Mark was just saying, I actually think that's one of the major things wrong at United. United have always been known to bring forward their young players, give them opportunities. Yeah. I mean, all you have to do is look at the class of 92, and then throughout the years, they've always had like youngsters coming into the team. And then you have a promising one, like Abdi was saying, and you're just going to let him go without, he could probably solve a lot of the issues
in midfield
that they have.
Yeah, but can I just say,
for the record, so no one's confused at all, I love all of this, man.
I think
long may it continue. I think
your monologue about 5 minutes ago. I think everyone.
No, but I'm just saying, like, crying. It almost makes it seem like we're like feeling sorry for the fall of a great organization. But no, mate, let it burn to the ground.
It's more like we're providing information.
Yeah. The thing is, they've got Man United. They've got Liverpool next. I mean, where are the points coming from? I think they've also got Arsenal soon, haven't they?
Yeah.
What are their next fixtures? Let's have
It might actually be Eric 10 minutes. He might be gone to.
So they've got... Oh, God, why am I having to scroll? So, down? Yeah, so they've got Liverpool, Southampton, Leicester, Arsenal, Palace, Leeds. I'll be real.
And Man City.
The only place I see them getting points is probably Southampton.
Yeah, but if you look at it now, yeah.
Leeds.
The way they're playing right now...
I don't see them.
The way they're playing right now, do you see them picking up any points at all?
That's like, what I'm saying. I just said that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just generally, like, you can list all the teams and all that stuff, and all the big teams they've got coming up. Are they going to win against Southampton? They could easily do what they... 35 minutes, mate, and they were 4-0 down. And it was well-deserved as well. Yeah. Like, it wasn't even like a, it was errors and we just lost control. It was just...
Okay, so, Mark is just reminding me of something.
Who's chilling? Do they not know there's a 6 p.m. by law? Yeah.
Yeah!
Tell us.
Just quickly, I've got a list of Man United signings here just to... And then I've got their wages. I've got some wages. But since 2013, Man United have had a host of signings. And this has come from Sky Sports. So this is a list which they've separated into green, amber and red.
Oh, yeah, that's nonsense, by the way. They put Bruno in green.
Yeah, they put...
What does green, amber and red actually represent then?
So green is good. Amber is like... they're talking about value for money. So green is good value for money. Okay. Amber is like... and then red is not. So yeah, so... Abdi said it. Bruno Fernandes and Ibrahimovic are the sole green representatives.
Oh, that's Ibrahimovic?
Yeah,
Ibrahimovic.
Since 2013, Ibrahimovic and Bruno Fernandes are the only green representatives on this list.
That's 9 years.
In amber, just hold on. In amber, you have Ander Herrera, Luke Shaw, Matic, Fred, Maguire, Cavani and Ronaldo.
Who did that
amber?
List?
Sky Sports. I don't have.
Was
the
it Carroll? I think Carroll.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Maguire should be in the red.
All right, Neville. So I've only said 8 names so far. In the red, you got Fellaini, Mata, Rojo, Di Maria, Blin, Depay, Schweinsteiger, Darmian, Schneiderlin, Martial, Bailey, Mkhitaryan, Pogba, Lindelof, Lukaku, Sanchez. That's Alexis. Dalot, Daniel James, Wan-Bissaka, Van de Beek, Alex Telles, Ahmad, Jadon Sancho and Rafael Varane.
Jesus Christ.
That's a lot of damn
money. Firstly, how on earth can Maguire be in amber?
That's what
Pogba
I'm saying.
Be in red?
But the wages, so this is in pounds sterling.
Oh, Jesus.
Ronaldo per week, 515,000.
No, I'm sorry. Liquidate the club.
Per week?
Per week. Weekly
two
wages.
$2 million a month. Mad.
$2 million
a month to sulk.
David De Gea. David De Gea, 375,000.
300? What? Are you
apparently they have
me?
Like 10 players over 300k a week or something.
Jadon
like
Sancho, 350,000. Hey. Rafael Varane, 340,000. Anthony Martial, 250,000. Bruno Fernandes, 240,000. Rashford, 200,000. Maguire, 190,000. Luke Shaw, 150,000. Christian Eriksen, 150,000.
Luke Shaw it should be in court for signing that contract. Morally, that's just a horrible thing to do.
I can see why they would. 190k
and you play like that.
Yeah, so Brandon Williams, who they never play, 65,000. Bailly, 80,000. Wan-Bissaka, 90,000. They still pay Mason Greenwood, 75,000. Phil Jones on 75,000.
Oh my God. Phil Jones is still a Man United player.
Wait, isn't that more than, how much does Saka get?
Yeah, Saka's on 50 at the moment.
Well, and 30, Phil Jones actually, is getting more. Yeah. Jesus.
And then you've got Van der Beek on 120, Martinez 120, Lindelof 120.
No,
Fred,
you know what? I can see why the frustration with the owners.
That club is just a bank, isn't it?
Who's making all of these terrible decisions?
So when I read that, I was like, I have to share this. This is outrageous.
It goes back to that Glazer point of I'm not trying to validate anything that they've done, and I understand how bad they are as football owners.
They're terrible,
but listen. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of players. When you went through the green, red, amber list, whether we agree with it or not, that's a lot of players. That's a lot of money spent on transfers. That's a stupid amount of money spent on wages.
It's not like Man United managers have been starved of money. It's not like a Newcastle situation a couple of years ago.
It's just the wrong players, though, isn't it?
It's like the club has no direction. It's like
they're in serious danger of getting to that stage that we were at about Roy Hodgson days, but essentially that type of time where
I think they are on their way. Yeah,
it was essentially Roy Hodgson come out and said one season we're not too big for a relegation battle.
Yeah,
that's how bad it was at one point.
But the thing is, as well, the way to fix this, they actually need to spend more money because they need new players. And I honestly think they're broke. They're actually broke.
Man United don't actually have much money.
But also, they're in 516 million debt.
They're going to end up like Barcelona. I'm telling you.
16 levers and...
telling you, boy.
Well, if Barcelona and Man United die in the same season... I'd turn up to a podcast with needles.
All right.
You're sick.
I know we're so tight for time, but we can't have that whole conversation without giving a little bit of praise to Brentford.
Brentford were fantastic. Depressing.
Yeah. Ivan Toney, what a performance.
Jensen is class, man.
That fourth goal, the pass, first time pass with your left foot from Toney.
Disgusting. Oh, such a good ball. Right, that was the goal of the
night. As well, like holding off.
He's holding off a BBW, bro. Like,
it's peak for Ericsson, though. Like, his old club, boy.
Yeah.
They were like, that's old body now, and we don't care about you no more.
But and he rejected them to go to Man United.
Honestly, I find it so mad that literally they have a former manager. Ben Mee had to update his LinkedIn before the game, innit? Like, I'm back to being a defender now. Shout out to them. Shout out to Thomas Frank as well. That's the thing as well. Like, I'm criticizing Ten Hag because your coach, Thomas Frank doesn't have the best group of players,
Does
he?
Exactly.
If you look at it on paper, people would say Man United is a better team. But Thomas Frank, he coached them. They were 2-0 down against Leicester, came back, got a point, smashed up Man United in the opening 35 minutes. It's not by luck, it's become by good coaching. So Ten Hag deserves some slander because he can't coach.
They didn't want Conte in it. They didn't want him.
So. Yeah, apparently he's not United DNA.
Yeah. What is United DNA? Fergie's gone, bro. He's done. Fergie's 80 years old. Stop mentioning his name anymore, bro. And that's the thing. Like, do you see that little clip of someone saying basically, like, the whole conversation was every time a person analyses Man United, they go, this is Manchester United Football Club, you know? It's a big club. And that's it. That's the analysis, isn't it? Don't talk about how the shambles organisation for 10 years.
All right. I'm just conscious we've got...
two games.
Two games and then Man of the Week. Nottingham Forest played West Ham. That's their first win back in the Premier League. I can't remember. Is it 18 years since they last graced the Premier League? Mm. But anyway, it's been a long time coming. And they won. West Ham should... probably have taken something from that game.
They had a penalty. Like three times, didn't it?
Hit the bar a couple times. Declan Rice had a
penalty. Let me tell you, the two shots that come off the bar literally bounced off the bar onto the line. Yeah. They were so unlucky.
Was it Benrahma, isn't it?
Benrahma and Fornals,
Fornals.
I don't know why they haven't embedded in their new signings yet. I think
it's the same as Spurs, really. It's the same conversation.
I think it's more clear, though. Like,
but West Ham, I'm a little more desperate to get them in. Yeah, you're right. In terms
they just signed Tilo Kehrer from PSG.
Mm. I don't know why Declan Rice is on pens. I have to be honest. And when he was when he stepped up, I thought this guy shouldn't be on pens. Yeah. I outside of his obvious quality as a footballer. You just shouldn't be taking pens.
He just said, because I'm the captain now, innit? Spirit of Mark Noble, innit? But no,
you could tell, like, Bowen should be in his run-up, like, Benrahma, you could see in his run-up, like, there was no discussion. You could tell where he was going.
I think when Scamacca comes in, he'll probably start taking.
Well, he came on in the second half, and you can already tell he's one of those strikers that is greedy, like... He had a chance to feed someone in and he just took a shot when there was a guy literally right in front of him. But sometimes you need that from a striker.
What do you think is going to happen with Forest season? Because 17 new signings is ridiculous.
I know when we made our predictions that I said that Forest were going to stay up. I'm kind of teetering on the line now because 16 signings is crazy.
You have a 25-man squad.
This isn't Football Manager.
It's a joke. Do you know what's crazy? Yeah? It's outside of Barcelona, Real Madrid. The net spend in La Liga is 4.7 million average, yeah? Nottingham Forest have 120 million net spend.
That's crazy.
Team that came up. The Barclays is different, bro.
It's true. Literally.
And also, I've seen a lot of incomings. I haven't seen a lot of outgoings.
Yeah. Well, no, they did a lot of... Well, obviously they didn't keep a lot of the players they had in the championship, but they brought in in this week alone, they brought in that guy from Atalanta, Froiler. They brought in Dennis, the Kiate. They're about to bring in Mopé and Awa. Awa, ridiculous. What a fall off, man.
Yeah, that was a good bit.
The maddest thing is that if Ghana is to be like let go from United, don't know why it took me so long to get that sentence. So everyone was looking at me like, what are you, what's going on?
Yeah,
listen, it's been a long day. But if United do decide to let him go, which it looks like they will, Boris should be all over that.
100%.
Yeah.
He was arguably their best player last season.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know where I stand with them.
We'll see, innit? We'll see. Did you see
it? It's a lot of new players.
Henderson had a blinding game.
Good save, good penalty save. Did you see right at the end of the game when they were when they're about to blow the whistle and the cameraman came over to the
he blew
up for a foul. And it wasn't the final whistle.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when the cameraman came to him, he told him, move, man, come back.
It's not done, man.
Oh, we should talk about Benrahma's disallowed goal. We spoke about it briefly on the chat. Antonio ran over one of their centre-backs, but it wasn't purposely.
Just
like,
the coming together.
Yeah. You know? It was like, what's that famous saying that they love? Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Antonio, he doesn't know his own strength. He just thinks, oh, come on, man. I didn't even do that much, didn't
he? He did that
this
to
guy, this time, this guy's winded completely.
he did that to a 6 foot man, yeah?
Yeah.
What's he going to do to Martinez?
Please. I have to watch that game in HD, bro. Like, I have to watch it. I can't wait. Martinez at the London Stadium, bro.
Oh, my God.
Man.
All right. Moving
like
on.
Soccer aid, bro.
you say, well, yeah. It's a soccer aid flick.
All right. Let's talk about the Monday night game. At Anfield, Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, as we saw last season, isn't an easy task as they possibly once were. Vieira has them fully drilled and they're a threat. They've got good players.
Eze was balling out.
Do you know who else is balling? Doucouré. What a signing.
Yeah, that was
Doucouré.
When we played them last week, literally two players stood out to me. Anderson and Doucouré.
Yeah,
and
Anderson's those two. Looking good.
Anderson's
really
looking really good.
Doucouré, though, like he's got like so many elements to his game. Like he can play as a six, he can play as a box-to-box midfielder, and he gets into the box and he picks out passes as well.
And the thing is, he's so good at reading the game, like the tackles he makes, interceptions. He's
so much energy. Right?
As a Palace fan, it must feel like
dreamland, isn't it?
Going from that Hodgson ball, which was almost depressing.
No, it was depressing.
To this now.
Yeah.
But on the Liverpool front, because we are like we're an hour and 26 minutes in. Terrible start to the season. That's all I can say. But the one thing that actually gives me that bit of hope before you have your fun, I know you want to come in and have your fun. The one thing that actually gave me a bit of, I'm not going to call it hope because, like I said it when to you guys when I asked you that question earlier about Arsenal. Look, we're two games in. You can't draw conclusions about anything.
Yeah, it's too early.
But outside of that, it's a terrible start to the season. What cost us the title last season? Too many draws. We started the season with two draws from two games. So already we're playing catch up. But the one thing that kind of left me feeling a little bit positive was the domination, even down to 10 men.
Yeah. That was scary, man. Because you think like,
that was.
When you go down to 10 men, you're like, all right, I hope maybe we can hope. Like hold them and we'll get something.
You
on the counter.
It's crazy.
And that's what left me feeling, you know what, we're just kicking into gear. It's been a really poor start to the season results wise and performance wise at Fulham, but there's nothing really I can say negative about that performance last night with Palace, other than obviously the Nunes red, which was idiotic. But performance wise I actually thought we looked pretty good.
What a goal by Diaz.
Yeah, honestly, I was just sitting there like, wow.
He has me screwing because he's so good.
That was sensational.
That was unbelievable.
And we needed a moment. We needed a moment of magic in that specific moment.
Before that moment, he wasn't playing well at all. Like it was literally he was actually being not pocketed, but like he was given a hard time by Klein, innit? And then he's got the ability to just literally go.
But
from
the thing, you know what? I like the mentality switch. I think when Liverpool went down to 10 men, it's like something switched in him and he said, I've got to take the game now.
Every
time he got the ball, he was like, anyone got the ball, he was like, give it to me, give it. And every time he took the ball, he drove Liverpool forward. And the goal, like he twined up five players.
That goal.
I know, he just went, but it wasn't even that. Listen, the goal, the old school. It wasn't even, the goal was beautiful, but he made 18 challenges last night.
Yeah.
The most on the pitch.
I honestly think Liverpool could have won that game even after they were down 10 men.
I thought they were. Honestly, I thought they were going to win it.
Do you know, Tsimikas came on and didn't put a single good cross in.
Yeah, the cross.
I don't know
really
what he was
bad.
Doing. Like,
he's he literally trained one day before.
If he did, like, honestly, he was getting into positions as well where he was quite dangerous. And then every time he was playing the ball in, I was just like, there's so many men in the box. Like, they could have literally stolen the game. Even though Salah had that chance where he just went wide.
And the Carvalho one as well.
Yeah. And Carvalho, yeah, with the left foot as well. Yeah. He's a baller.
He is. Harvey Elliott, by the way, I just need to give him this quick shout out. Yesterday, he was unbelievable. And I think this is the... I know, like, in terms of people knowing who he is and his name, he's broke out. But this season is that breakout season for him.
Why didn't... is Gomez not fully fit? Is that why he didn't start him?
Nope. So
we're ravaged
with injuries. So the advice from the medical team was that he can only play 30 minutes.
Okay, that's why.
Kanate and Matip already out, and Thiago. It was the same advice with Henderson. So they both picked up niggles this week in training. So it was 30 minutes for both of them.
Thiago's out for 6 weeks, isn't it?
Thiago's out for four, hopefully, but it's 4 to 6 weeks. Obviously, Jota.
What do you think of the
list goes on?
Fabinho's performances recently. Two games
into the season. He played 60 minutes against Fulham, stunk it out. He was a bit better yesterday, but not much.
Got done up by Eze though for the goal.
Yeah,
I think
quality goal, by the way. Eze, what a touch!
Yeah,
Eze. And I got to give credit for the finish, by the way. Zaha finish, unbelievable.
I still think, I know it's harsh, maybe Van Dijk could have engaged a little bit more,
but I kind of agree. Like, you don't want, I think he trusted Alisson too much there. I think, like, he could have, of course. I'd rather him go outside than for him to cut inside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If he cut, yeah, I think that's what Van Dijk was anticipating, the cutting, because that's Zaha what he would do. But I think it's almost as if, like, he trusts Alisson. Like, Alisson's a quality goalkeeper in 1v1. Unlike many other people, you fancy him in a 1v1. But I mean, he probably should have slid in for that.
But that's Henry-esque.
But sliding in there is. It's incredibly risky,
especially, like, with Zaha, who's tricky.
You know how quick his feet are. If you're sliding in aimlessly, just to slide in for sliding in's sake, chances are you're getting sent off.
But that was
Henry-esque,
the finish.
The finish was unbelievable. Yeah. Let's be honest.
He was amazing first half, terrible in the second half, and he was doing the most annoying thing. Every time he would lose the ball, he was complaining to other people.
That was the one, that was the thing where I was like, actually, I can see in Zaha's game the energy and the commitment. You can tell. Whether it's just this season, whether it was last season, that's all up for debate. But you can tell he's super committed to this Palace season.
Yeah.
If he could and he would, he'd be up there playing Champions League football. Yeah, he should be. But he's committed to that Palace team, and it's good to see. But that was irking me as well. That kind
throwing
of
his hands up all the time.
Hands up in the air, he just thinks to me of, I'm better than you. Why are you not? Like, why are you not reaching my level?
It wasn't even like bad passes. It was him messing up bare times as well. Like, when Eze drove forward and they tried to cut it back to him. Yeah. I don't know what he was trying. And then, what's his name? Who was it? Was it Edward or Ayew? I can't remember. Someone cut it back to him and he should have shot first time and he took a back heavy touch.
Yeah.
That was in the first half.
No, it was the second half. Could have made it 2-0.
We've got a goal. We have to win our next three now. United, Bournemouth, Villa. Potentially, I think, is our next three in the league.
Right. We've all said our next fixtures, and Villa appears in each of our next three.
And we've got Bournemouth next.
We haven't got Villa.
Oh, you haven't got us.
No. And we've got Bournemouth next.
Poor Bournemouth with City, Arsenal, Liverpool in their first four.
That's crazy. That's tough.
Mm.
But do you think you need more signings? Midfield?
I said this to Junior earlier. I'm just checking. Sorry, it's not Villa. It is... United, Bournemouth, Newcastle. I said to Junior earlier, it looks like Nunes is going to Wolves from Sporting Lisbon. That's one I think we should be all over. All over. As in, we should have made that happen and it should have been wrapped up by now. But it looks like we're not bringing anyone else in.
That's crazy to me.
I can't believe two games into the season, 10 players have been injured already.
That screams of, like, the year that Van Dijk, Matip and Co got injured. Like, Botford midfield this season, I mean.
Yeah.
It's not a secret. Like, last year, Keita was injured.
They're injury prone.
The season before, Thiago was injured for most of it. What's his name? Curtis Jones has been injured. Henderson is past 30. It doesn't really matter. But still, like, you should be looking to at least bring in...
You should be. And it all screams to me They're not signing a centre mid this summer because there's something lined up for next summer, and that to me screams Jude Bellingham. But what about this season?
Are you going to give up on a season
at the start? But listen, we'll see. Like I said, the draws killed us last season. We missed out on the title by a point, as we have done a couple of times.
How many draws did you get last year?
Seven.
Yeah, that's too much.
I think it was six or seven. Which is mad, but you got to think, right? Back in the day, I say back in the day, 10, 15 years ago, you could win the Premier League with 12 draws.
Yeah, it's true. Arsenal won the league.
Yeah, but we did.
But we didn't lose that.
But you could win it with... what?
Yeah, quite a lot of
draws. 20 wins, 12 draws, 6 losses.
Yeah.
Now, coming up against this City team, let's say you could lose twice and draw 4 games. Any more than that, you're essentially handing the title to City.
Wins, 12 draws is 72 points. So he doesn't have to win the league.
But that was the point that Carragher was making. Carragher and Neville were making on MNF. They were saying basically, 8 years ago, the start of the season, it wasn't really that important because
it's just what you do after January.
Yeah, but City have upped the level so much that the first two games, massive.
Exactly. And I know you say 20 wins is like 70 points, it's not that much, but teams used to win that. No one really used to. No, but 90 points used to be untouchable. Yeah, 90 points now is second place. Yeah. 80 points.
Leicester won the league with 80 points.
Yeah. Used to win the league on 80-odd points. And now, realistically, that's if you want to challenge for top four, 80 points, 70 to 80 points has to be your target. Yeah.
I think you've got enough in your team to survive relegation, though.
Man, there we go. I was actually thinking that.
Well, we're 4 points clear of you, so chat to me when you get there.
What about
we mentioned
Nunes?
Well, I mentioned it.
Why did you want to say something?
I think it would be a really good learning curve for him sense of Prem centre backs, they won't just defend, they will rustle and they will harry you and they will piss you off.
And I don't think he's
all
used to
game.
That. He's
South American.
And he's going to have to get used to that. And he reacted. He's the first player under Klopp's tenure to get sent off for violent conduct.
Really?
First player. For something as serious as that, in terms, not like a slide tackle that's a straight red, but violent conduct, as in of the dictionary definition.
Anderson knew what he was doing, though, man.
Of course he did.
100%.
That's what I mean. That's what I was just saying about the rustling of your feathers, etc. Yeah. But he will learn from this, so he's going to miss our next three, and on top of our injury loss list. Sorry, it's not good at all. Firmino might not even make United. Didn't even mention him on our injury list earlier.
He wasn't
even in the squad last night. Like we're depleted.
Klopp said at the in the interview. Firstly, he said that he thinks there's a witch going around the building, but secondly, he said that Firmino looks to be okay for United. That's what he said in the interview.
He said he might be.
Oh. Well, it's always a positive to go from Nunes' technique to Firmino's, isn't it? So,
stop!
You kind of killed it there, man. Mm-hmm. But it's a good effort. It was a good effort.
Hey, cool.
Good effort. Okay. One, 2 minutes.
My team hasn't got the South American Andy Carroll.
Crazy. You've been waiting to get that one out. Remember, we're 2 games into the season. Enjoy it while you can.
You lot scored a goal, after he got sent off in it. So that's
He also scored against Fulham, so
whatever, man. Man were claiming assist when it hit him by accident and Salah tapped in.
Are we not talking about goals?
Oh, it was
man
a good
said,
finish,
why did you point at me? What are you talking about?
Like you said, we'll see.
Cool.
Okay. Well,
if he does a score next game, I'm trying to.
Okay. Cool, with that, man of the week, Abdi, you start.
I don't remember. Oh yeah, I'll go for obviously. I'll go for R9. Sorry, Gabriel Jesus.
Such a waste, man.
The best striker in the league, scoring 2 goals, 2 assists. So the most productive player in the Premier League at the moment, best player in the world. So, Ballon d'Or coming soon. So.
Wow. All right. I'm gonna go with. I should have prepared, possibly.
It's hard this week, I think.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Jensen from Brentford.
Nice.
I think he had a quality performance and got a goal as well. Mm-hmm. And they won 4-0, beat Man United. Mark?
Me, yeah?
Yeah, alphabetically.
Alphabetically, cool. Yeah, Tony for me. I won't go into too much detail because he took United for little boys and that's it.
Well, I mean, they had a little boy.
That was a nice setup. Tanya?
So I'm going to give it to Anthony Taylor. Just kidding.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Good one.
You know what? I'm torn between, although Zaha got the goal, I thought Eze played really well. Yeah. So I'm going to give it to Eze this week. But yeah, big up. Special mention to Anthony Taylor, innit?
And with that,
can I change mine to Ten Hag for picking Ramsey?
Oh yeah, Ten Hag is a man of the century. And Man United.
And with that, we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Woohoo! Sports Social Podcast Network.